you can do what you like.
Amen. If you have to go, you can. We're not holding you here, okay? So we want you to be comfortable leaving if you need to. But please do converse and fellowship out in the foyer if you would. So I'm going to open it up. But before I do, can I pray for you? You've been on my heart all evening. Can we just come on up here? I'm not going to embarrass you at all, but this is your family?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, God wants to encourage your heart. The Bible says that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That means the devil took very seriously your conversion. He's a dirty fighter. He's had a lot of practice. And what God's doing with you is he's teaching you how to fight. And the way to fight is surrender, not to the devil again, not to the world, but surrender to God, because God wants to equip you with his Holy Spirit and wisdom from above, and you're going to rout the devil. He's beating the snot out of you, if I'm correct. And so every day there's this battle going on, and you're trying your best to fight it. The best way to fight it is surrender to the master teacher and let him teach you a whole new way to fight and win. You can't win just banging your head against the enemy. He's too big and too strong. But you're going to win. And being in that boxing ring, you're going to learn the way he punches and go, okay, that's the devil. And you're going to turn around. God's going to give you a strategy on how to take him out. He'll actually get to the place where he refuses to get in the ring with you, because you know his devices, and you will win. So, Father, I thank you for this son. You planted good seed in good soil in this man. And just having the desire, just that's all he had initially, was the desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. The devil took it very seriously and has wanted to come and rob, come and kill, and come and destroy. And God is keeping you from that, but he's teaching you how to fight, because your family needs to know how to fight. There's more than you at stake, and you know it. And so, Father, we thank you for protecting his family, letting the Spirit of God rule their lives too. We pray for his home, that it will be covered with the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God, so that the Spirit of God rules supreme in that home and in his daily drive and at work, to where his thoughts would be yours, that he won't be trying to just stay above water, splashing with his own hands. He will actually be learning the skills that will let him walk on water. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Appreciate you letting me pray for you. Just come on up, folks. Yep. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to be a good boy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for this good steward of the grace of God, that she, Lord, is sown where she could. She's actually cast good seed on what looks like bad soil. But you've worked out a way for that seed. It's taken years, but that seed has gone into that concrete. That seed's going to germinate. It's actually germinating now. And a piece of grass seed can bust a slab of concrete. It can crack it. And so this has been hard. You feel like, well, I don't know if that accomplished anything. It's accomplishing just like it's supposed to. Some people are stubborn. Some people want it their way. You've wrestled with God and you have prevailed. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for their service. I thank you, Lord. I see this man as like a fireman. A fireman has a hat that's appropriate for shedding water. He has a jacket. He's fully equipped. And I see you fully equipped. You've put on the whole armor of God. You can go into a house on fire. It'll be all right. You can actually go around the sick and it's going to be okay. You can actually go to the lost and the broken and nothing will touch you. Nothing will harm you. You need not be afraid. You're a vessel of honor for God. He wants to anoint you to heal the sick and heal the broken. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You've seen many days that discouraged you. Some days you feel like you're driving around in a car with three wheels. There's a lot of sparks, but we're getting there, but there's a lot of noise. God is going to see to it in the next year that you have a list of more victories than discouragements. In the coming year, victory after victory after victory, you're going to have so many victories, you're going to actually forget what it was like to live discouraged before you got out of bed. And Father, we thank you for our sister. I thank you that she's going to taste this victory and say, you know what? I am not believing any more lies. I'm not going to believe that I'm defeated before I start the day. No, Lord, I got the joy of your promises, and they will become a reality every day as I look to you in Jesus' name. Put the wheels back on her vessel. Hallelujah. New gas pedal and new brakes. You're going to stop and go better than you have in a long time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that's good, John. Thank you. I'm trying to be good. Father, we thank you that you bless the children. That Jesus blessed the children. And when Jesus' disciples wanted to send the children away, he said, no, for such is the kingdom of God. Don't despise the kids. And so, Lord, we bless the kid. We bless this young man. In Jesus' name, bless him. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the oil of the Spirit of the living God being poured out on his head and going all over his whole being, that he would know from a young age, I'm called, I'm delivered, and I'm sent. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a mom, right? You're a good mom. I think you would drink a cup of poison for your child so they don't have to. And what you got to realize is that God knows what to let them experience so they don't stay little children. And they are growing up and you'll go, oh God, why did you allow that kid to say that to my child? Why is my child struggling in this area? Because you're going to pray for them, and they are going to experience God on a personal level, and God's going to give them the victory. That way, they're not living off yours. He is developing their personal testimony because they're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen? Help them when you can, but when it's out of your control, trust God, because you've committed. Amen? You've committed him to God. God won't fail. Amen? It's hard being a mom, isn't it? It's hard, because your heart's absolutely enthralled in that whole thing. But it's a good place to be. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Amen? Bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that as much as we've done it to the least of your brethren, we've done it unto you. And there are people that have done things for her which are getting a blessing, but there are people who said things to her they shouldn't have. And Jesus wants you to pray for them because he said, whatever you've done to the least, what appears to be the least, people think is the least or even the smallest, perhaps. You've done it unto me, and we need to pity them, not be mad at them. We need to forgive them and let the joy of the Lord come back into your heart. You're a fine woman of God. You're a fine daughter that represents your father very well. And you just keep doing that. Amen? Amen. You're a blessing. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we've learned to wrestle. It's a particular type of fighting. You box somebody, you can box them at a distance. Wrestling? Man, that's slimy, sweaty, bodily contact. I mean, the devil's all over us. And he's whispering in our ear because he's close enough to lie. But you're a good wrestler. You're a good wrestler. You know how to shut him up. I'm not believing you, garbage man. I'm not doing that anymore. And so I thank you, Father, that he has been able to go the distance. When he got knocked down, he got up. He's learned that you don't stay down. A righteous man will fall down 7 times and the Lord will pick him up. Amen. So God, I thank you. The fight's still on, but he's winning. He's winning now because he knows he can't do it. But he likes to smile when he sees you win in Jesus' name. He won't leave you in the lion's den forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you read about David when he was a young man, it's a message I've preached. It says that they recommended him to King Saul because he was a man of integrity. He's just a kid. He's not very old. He's a man of skill. He's full of the Spirit of God. And there's a list of what the qualifications that David had as a young man. And he got to be exactly where God wanted him to be. You're one of those guys. You're one of those guys who has integrity, equipped by God, skilled by God, full of the Holy Spirit. And God's going to open doors for you. I see him opening doors for you. You know no man could. As a father to a son, him making sure there are doors in the distance you need not worry about, because God's going to open those doors when you get there. Amen. Father, I thank you for this man. He has focused on being like you. He hasn't let hypocrites contaminate him. He hasn't let adversity discourage him. He understood this is not an easy walk. This is the greatest challenge there is in life, is to follow you. But he's doing it well in Jesus' name, and he's upholding the standard. And brother, people are watching you. Young people are watching you. You know, when I was a young man, I mean a little boy basically, I saw some people that I knew were Christians. And honestly, I looked at my great uncle and I thought, I want to be like that guy. I had a friend in school who wouldn't drink beer with us guys. And one day after hugging a toilet bowl all night, I got up in the morning and I said, I want to be like him. And I quit drinking just like that, gone. Why? Because I had a good example. You're a fine example of Christ. Keep it up. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for our sister. You said that your life in us will swallow up death. Dead things. Some things you're going to see resurrected. Things you think are so far gone, they'll never come back. God's going to restore them to you in this life. I think there's some relationships, there's some people that were lost along the way. You're going to actually have a restoration. They're going to approach you. You won't have to pursue them. Now, that's going to be something, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
It would be a divine thing. And you're going to go, wow, God, you actually saw the brokenness of my heart and wanted to do something about it. And he'll send them back different than they were. Father, I thank you for her. There's an excellence, Lord, in the way you work. Sometimes we think you've given us a snake when we asked for a fish. They feel the same. They feel the same. They both got scales. And we go, yikes. So I'm convinced it's got to be a snake, but it's a fish. And you'll partake of it. And you'll go, God, you did good. The latter end with him is always better. In Jesus' name. I'm excited to hear about that. I gotta get back here. You keep me in place, boy. Oh, man, I know, I'm terrible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, you take a cup, and that's what her life is, and you put all these good things in, and then you begin to stir the cup because it's got to dissolve into what she's going to drink. And if we drank it too quick, it would be all lumpy or it would be gritty, and we would go, oh, that tastes so nasty. And there's a lot of things in you that God's been stirring around for a long time, and you tasting, and as you get older, you're going, now that tastes good. I never used to like that. Now it tastes good. You know, and that's what's going to happen. You tried to taste a lot of things as a young Christian very quickly, and they weren't dissolved in the water. Does that make sense? And so some of them tasted bitter. Some of them go, people said this was good, but it really isn't. It's not good. And he's changed your taste buds, and now you can drink. And drink wholeheartedly from the goodness of God. Amen. Lord, in that cup is every vitamin, every spiritual blessing, everything that pertains to life and godliness is in that cup. And now that it's been stirred well, she can enjoy it. And she's going to. She's going to just, the Bible says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. That's what God said he would do. And in Jesus' name, that's where your wholeness is going to come from. Amen? Oh, it's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you for songs in the night. You've surrounded us with songs of deliverance. Songs that go before us to drive the enemy out of the promises of God that are ahead of us. Just a song. You're going to sing. And the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Jebusites are all going to be pushed backwards off the ground that you are supposed to have. In Jesus' name. Amen? And you're doing it all the time. Keep singing. Keep singing. Amen? I mean, John does these instrumentals, and it always reminds me, it says in the Old Testament that they called for a minstrel. That means he didn't sing necessarily, he just played the instrument. And the utterance of prophecy came. And you're going to be just singing melody in your heart. You particularly won't have lyrics of any particular thing, but you just singing. It's going to bust this thing wide open in Jesus' name. Amen? Keep singing at it. Amen. We can rebuke it, try and go into prayer burden. The Lord just sent Judah first. And they sang. Amen. Keep it up. Thank you, Jesus. You married?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you two just got married last year or something? Was it the... I'm 3 years ago. Well, there you go. I think I prayed for you not too long after or before, somewhere in there. Lord, I thank you for them. They're covenant keepers. They realize covenant is another whole level of commitment to God. But what you're learning now is that it's another whole level of God's covenant to you, individually and together. Be bold to come into His throne room and ask, because there's a lot of people that have needs that you're around that don't even know where to go. And your intercession for the wicked, for the ignorant, the people that are going astray, people that don't know any better, you're going to go to the throne room and ask God, I'm calling a name. I think you've been doing it already. I'm just confirming. But be very bold about this, because God told Jesus in Psalm 2, He said, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. What we got to do is ask. Name them. God, that looks like mission impossible. But you can do it. Because somebody that understands how it works has to access that for them, because they got nobody. You understand? So this whole covenant thing, man, it's going to get rich. I know it's been rich between the two of you, but what I sense has been built here is very strong. Agree together. You know, one moves 1,000, two moves 10,000. Agree together and bring these people before God and say, Lord, save them. Intervene for them. I believe divine healing is going to start happening in Jesus' name. Father, bless them. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you for their covenant with you. And out of that comes life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm seeing a garden, and the weeds, we pull them out. We get it all pretty, and those little suckers grow back. And we go, man, I've already done this how many times? And there's something in you that keeps being willing to deal with the weeds. It's almost like a duty. It's that, okay, it doesn't matter if it's housework or whatever. There's something in us that motivates us to go, I'm willing to get up and do that again, practice that, make it even better than it's been before. And I'm going to find solutions, because we usually find something that'll go on the ground to kill those buzzards. So you, God loves the fact that you're willing to get up and do it again. Because a lot of things, we're learning so much, we get repeats on the problem. And when the repeats come, He's teaching us a deeper, wider understanding of what exactly is really happening spiritually. Amen? So, Lord, I just bless her for her diligence. None of your labor in Him is in vain. None of it. Every weed you pull, everything that's obnoxious and contrary that you decide, I'm not going to have that growing in my garden. I'm ripping it out in Jesus' name. Every weed is a victory for you in Jesus' name. Bless her, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So I said it earlier, and I'll say it to you again. There's a tenderness in you, and as your heart is made more and more whole, but I want to say the correct word is more and more full. So as you walk with Him, He's going to fill you up more and more. You are going to heal multitudes of broken hearts. God's going to send them to you. They're going to befriend you, and you'll go, dear God, what a mess. What a mess. How do I fix this? And He's going to show you exactly the key. All right? Peter said, he gave Peter the keys of the kingdom. You know what they are? They're keys that fit in certain locks to undo what's wrong in people's lives and open prison doors and set the captive free. people already attracted to you for spiritual reasons. They're needy. Amen? They came to Jesus because they were needy. And thankfully, Lord, you're going to anoint her to have every answer they need. She's going to give them answers, and it will not be on concrete. She'll throw the seed, and it will stick, germinate, and grow. She won't have to repeat herself 150 times. And the people that demand that of you are not serious. And that's what you're having to learn, is that when you have to constantly babysit a situation to get somebody believe, they say, yeah, I believe that, but they won't do it. There is often a very high maintenance person in a church that will take all the tension of the pastor away from the flock if he lets them. And it's a mistake to do it. Don't let one high maintenance person deprive you of how many you could touch. That's for the future. Okay? Remember that. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask you to heal. We thank you that in Jesus and by his stripes we are healed. So they claim it, we claim it, we agree with them, and we ask you to move all of heaven and hell or whatever, and the body, heal this body. In Jesus' name, heal them, Father. And I ask you to give them peace. Let them not be troubled. Let them not be soon troubled. Let no perplexity disturb their heart. In Jesus' name. We actually want to use the word perfect peace for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Doing good, John. Hi. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says if we're faithful with little, he'll give us much. So I think it's time, if I'm seeing the illustration right, you started out with a cup, and you came to the Lord and said, Lord, I fill my cup, and he filled it, and you gave most of it away to other people. Then you came with a one-gallon bucket, and now you've had a five-gallon bucket, and you've been blessing lots of people with your heart, with your smile, with your encouragement. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. You know, Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give you. And the man was healed at the gate beautiful. Don't be afraid to pray for the sick. But I see you with a cart and a 50-gallon bucket on there. Jesus is going to give you a big bucket because you know what to do with it. You're going to slop that thing everywhere. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're a blessing, a real blessing. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, life is complicated. We're born into homes that are complicated. We're born into pecking order that's complicated. And then we go to school and it's complicated. And then we go to work and it's complicated and it's all messed up. And I believe what God's doing in your life is simplifying everything. He's bringing you down to where your life is not cluttered with stuff that is nothing but a distraction. And he's simplifying it. And you'll find the simpler it gets, the easier it gets. And you're going to go, man, I like this. This isn't vexing me. It's not frustrating me. Keep simplifying everything. And then you're going to start hearing the voice of God very clearly on how he did that for you. And you're going to help other people uncomplicate their mess. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless her, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus carried his cross and he went out, and there was it Simon the Cyrenian? He wasn't a Jew. He was actually a Gentile who they compelled to carry his cross. And he picked up Jesus' cross and he carried it to where it was supposed to go. And I just sense you have carried the cross of Christ. You've been willing to get on it, let alone carry it. It hasn't been a cheap experience for you. You've carried the burden of the cross of Christ for others. And very commendable. You have really pleased your Heavenly Father, because you were willing to pick up what most people wouldn't even look at. And then you were willing to carry what was actually too much of a burden for most. But you did it for God, and he has not forgotten it. He has not forgotten your trial. In Jesus' name, great things are coming out of this. Great things. Amen. I thank you, Father. Lord, you said we didn't choose you. You chose us. It's good to be chosen. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. And you say, well, how can that happen? If God calls, how can I not be chosen? Well, it depends on how we respond, right? If I invite you to my house for lunch, but you don't show up, right? I'm going to go, well, he's just not interested, right? I'm going to think maybe he's not interested. Well, when God calls us, we say, yes, Lord, and we humble ourselves. And he begins this amazing work in us to make us like him. Amen? And make us able to influence our generation powerfully. God, I believe there's a call on this man to ultimately preach, to ultimately share the gospel at least, and be very good at it and very influential at it. Winning souls, causing people by the Spirit of God to make a decision for Christ. And so what you're learning now is these nuts and bolts of Christianity, what holds it together, what makes it fit, how it all works, because it's very important that what you give them is solid. And that's why God is making you do a solid work with it. You understand? It's good. It's all good, man. It's good to be chosen. Amen? Yep. Father, I thank you for him. Bless him. Keep him strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi. Thank you, Father. I have a song, and it says, it's what you say about me that matters more than in what anybody else says about me. What they say about me, who really cares? And what I say about me, my perspective on my identity, that's not the most important. The most important, and what God wants you to center on, is that you're a son of the living God. Look at men like Jonathan. Look at men like David. Look at men like Jesus, men like Paul. Those are the patterns that we look at and we go, you know what? The world is different. You know, what I think about myself, because the devil programs us to defeat ourselves. He really does. And he's good at it. That's got to stop. You understand? If God says you're his son and he loves you, that's quite a weapon to fight with, isn't it? When you get up every morning, God is your father, your heavenly father. Your dad will do the best he can, but he's not God. And at some point at your age, you begin to transition to needing a father who can do more than your dad. Does that make sense? And that's what happened to me. I needed a heavenly father who could actually turn me into something I was worth getting married to and having a son. Amen? So great things are happening. But don't listen to what you say. And don't listen to what people, the general crowd, the world, the flesh and the devil, what they say. Get your identity as a son of God. Amen? And enjoy it. Enjoy that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There was a woman who lost a coin. And the story in the Bible says that she looked for it and looked for it and looked for it, and she finally found it, and it was really good. She was excited about finding that coin. And God wants you to know that there are things in our lives that we think are lost, that we look for and seek out, but we can't find. And what God wants you to know is that He's going, things that you are not able to recover, or God doesn't give you back, God is going to replace with something so much better. Did you hear that? What you might seek out certain people or friends or whatever, and they won't accept you. They won't include you. God's got something better. And whenever life shuts a door in your face, that's what you need to say. In fact, you need to write it on that door and say, God has something better for me. And don't ever forget it. You go home and write that down. Hang it on the refrigerator. Because when one door shuts, God opens another door. Amen? So don't cry too long over things that don't work. Look for what God has next. In Jesus' name. Bless her, Father. Bless her. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning was God. That's just how it is. He exists. He's here. In the beginning was God. Before the earth was formed, God existed. Amen. That's the beginning of everything. And when I came to Christ, I was a nightclub musician on Bourbon Street snorting cocaine and doing everything that was attached to being a nightclub musician. I was 22 and got the challenge to follow Jesus. It's been a good life. I have a good wife. I have a son that loves me. Those are the real treasures in life. Money's not the real treasure. We can lose it overnight. Amen? And so God wants to teach you as a father would teach a son what is really valuable in life. The things that really matter are the things that are eternal. Not the things that are temporary, like this life. No, the things that are eternal. I can actually do things in this life that make my eternity more amazing because they get to go with me when I leave. You understand? God wants you to begin to think about eternal things. Go to the Word of God and read them. They're there about eternal things because Christ will come and the devil will be defeated. Amen? And God has chosen you through someone else's prayers and love and concern. God has given you an opportunity to get it right and do it well. Amen? In Jesus' name. Father, we pray that he would have his eyes open to see eternal things, what really matters in the light of eternity. Keep him eternity conscious in Jesus' name every minute of the day. And let him succeed at going ahead and growing in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Your prayers have worked wonders. Your prayers have done amazing things. And this is just the beginning. Because you know, some people like Joshua and Caleb, well, the other spies, they went in the promised land, and Joshua and Caleb are walking along going, Hey, this feels good, man. This is our future. This feels good. I'm gonna have that mountain and those giants, man. I want something big. Don't give me something small. And the other spies are walking along wet in their pants. And they're going, man, we hate this place. We're scared. There's giants. There's every reason to not go here. See, and you're like Joshua and Caleb. You're going, oh, I'm feeling pretty good in the giant land. Because I'm going to take these giants down. And I'm going to establish an inheritance for my family. And my children's children. And they'll look back at you and bless your name because of what you give them in Christ. And what you tell them about Christ. They'll never forget it. Amen? You're doing a great job. You know what? You have living faith. Living faith. That's what Joshua and Caleb had. Israel had dead faith and shipwreck faith. And you're going to help some shipwrecks. And you're going to help some people that have let their faith perish. But you're a woman of God, and you're doing a great job in Jesus' name. You be encouraged. Now, I tell you what, when you see Goliath come out and you see those big Philistine giants, you just ought to giggle just a little bit. Because God's got plans for that boy. He's coming down in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, bless this young man. Open his eyes, open his ears to hear, even as a young man, the things of God. Let him hear the Holy Spirit saying, do that, and the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. That's where it starts. And as we obey the Holy Spirit and we do what's right, we get more and more and more. It's going to be amazing. In Jesus' name, bless him. Oh, yeah, I got to come back here. You have to come over here to me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, come on. That's good. It's good. Father, in Jesus' name, bless. Lord, we thank you that in you every evil thing is undone. Every generational problem or inherited issues from previous generations are broken, and that they are set free to live lives for Christ and in Christ that are free from the past. Free from the past. You too. Past is gone in Jesus' name. Amen. The future's bright. It's not dim, it's not dull, and it doesn't look dark. Amen. I tell you, God has put when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, he caused a light to shine on them, but that light was darkness to the Egyptians. Your past is gone. Amen. And your future, you're gonna walk through that Red Sea and get on the other side and go on into the promises of God. And that's what you want. That's what you need. That's where you've set your sights. Amen? And you're doing great. In Jesus' name, bless these kids and bless this home. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that these parents have authority in Jesus' name to proclaim the promises of God when they don't have them. Right? You can proclaim them when you don't have them. And there is a... They can agree together for what they need. Amen? You're going to see God open the windows of heaven and pour out some big blessings. Too big to contain. You say, well, that looks impossible. Well, thank God. That means it's him, right? People can't do that. Only God. So we bless this family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a good portion pressed down, shaken together and running over. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. One of the things we have to learn is John said it, that when we are whole, when we have our act together, when we've learned some stuff and we know it works, and they don't want to hear it, it's really frustrating. Even Jesus said, he said, how long do I have to put up with you lot? He said, how long if you don't get it yet? He actually said that. And I see that there's a lot of grace in you to teach people the right way to do things. But it's very frustrating. Jesus even had the same frustrating. And my prayer for you is for you to have more grace, to not remember where they failed before and get a fresh perspective on how to help them now. We can't fix yesterday. They can't fix yesterday. But I just see you helping a bunch of people get their act together. Now, of course, we know some of them never listen. And you got to work those people out and realize I'm wasting my time. But otherwise, they're just going to suck you dry of all your energy. Okay? High maintenance people can be a real problem. They'll keep pulling when in fact they're taking someone else's measure that you could give them. We are servants, but we're not doormats. Don't ever forget that. We are willing to serve and help, but we are not doormats. You're doing great. You have a lot of grace in you to help people. And you want to help them. They're just hard to work with. Right? Yeah. God has exactly the same problem. Yeah, water, please. Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jesus. Hi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Life is a classroom. And in God's classroom, it's a classroom of realities, things that are real. Like if you stick your fingers in that light socket over there or that outlet over there, you're going to get buzzed pretty good. And you go, okay, I'm not putting my finger there again, right? These lessons, as the Bible says, if we're faithful in a little, we get more. So we might get a few more problems, but we get better at fixing all of them. We get more victories. We actually feel like, hey, you know what? Things are coming together. I see God building a really cool house in you and then building a house for you. David came to God. He said, I want to build you a house. He said, well, that's really cool, but I'm going to build your house because you have a desire to build mine. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That if you just keep the desire to be a temple of God that's acceptable to him and pleasing to him, he's going to build you a house. He's going to build his house inside you. Then he's going to build one that's probably 10 times more impressive on the outside for you to have in this world. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Father, I thank you that, again, I've prayed this for several people tonight, that your past is behind you. Don't put it in front of you. You got to stop dragging that junk up. Now, the devil will drag it up. You're learning how to shut him up. You want to talk about my past? You go talk to Jesus. Because he covered it with his blood. There's nothing to be said. Every day I have a new day. And you know what you have every morning if you ask for forgiveness? You have a brand new page. A whole new white page with an ink pen. And he puts it in your hand. And he says, you can write your future today. And you can write something on that page that's just absolutely impossible. And God will go, I like doing the impossible. But it takes a bit to get there. But he'll get you there. Your past is gone. Amen. Clean page every day. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for blessing these kids. I thank you that they've had a good year. I thank you they've learned some things, and I pray they keep them. I pray, Lord, for the gifts and talents of God to flow through every one of these kids. Let me pray for this one, Lord. The gifts and talents of God, the ability to excel in everything they put their hand to do, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the blessing. You'll bless this man, bless his house, open doors for him, make a way for him. Let him speak to mountains and let them be cast into the sea in the name of Jesus. I thank you that his faith is being worked on to come to that level, to where the mountains have to move. I'm not going up and down these mountains anymore. They're going to get out of my way. I'm not going to go around them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Is there another one back there? Yeah. All right. We don't want to miss out. Thank you, Father, for a young man. The Bible says in Psalm 19, how can a young man cleanse his way? He said, by taking heed to God's word. Read the word. All I did was I got saved, started reading the Bible, and it completely changed my life. Changed my whole value system. And you've grown up in Christianity. But it's easy to, oh yeah, I know that. What you want to do is go to God and say, show me the deeper stuff. I want to go deeper. All right? I want to go deeper. It's one thing to play in the shallow end of the pool when you're a kid, right? You can play in the shallow end and you don't have to learn how to tread water and hold yourself up in deep water. But boy, there's something about being in the deep end of things. And that's where you can go and God will teach you about how to swim in the deep end of life in a wonderful way and not drown, right? And not be overcome and not be pulled away by evil in Jesus' name. Bless this young man. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. Sorry this takes so long.
No, it's okay.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God, you said you had opened doors that no man can shut. And having lived some time, we see that there are things that kept working that we wondered if they would or could, but they kept working with job opportunities or whatever. God has sustained you. It's been quite a journey left and right. And it hasn't been a straight road. It's been around a lot of curves, a lot of just negotiating, trying to work out. But he's sustained you, and that's what matters. God, he's got a testimony, a powerful one. I pray he'll share it with people about how you have sustained him. You know, we often think we have to have a testimony that God healed the sick or moved a mountain or did something demonstrative. I think God's sustaining power is a serious testimony. He just doesn't let us fall and he doesn't let us fail. And he lets us be sustained. And what some of that in our lives, same with me, is that I got into ministry and I just kept going and then he kept equipping me, you know, but I know it's not me, right? It's him. And that testimony of the fact that I cannot sustain myself is humility, but it's also that I get to see God keep me as a father would hold up his son. And he sustained you and he will not stop. He's still going to sustain you. You don't worry about your future. You understand? Mm-hmm. You God's got it and he's going to sustain you. That means you might feel like you're walking on water and about to sink. What did Jesus do with Peter? He didn't drown him right there. He grabbed him and sustained him. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. I've got to get the camera. Thank you. Father, we pray for healing for her, a speedy recovery, that she will be completely whole and no lasting problems. I thank you, Lord, that there is healing in her. There is godly healing. She weeps for people who actually won't weep for themselves. That's part of carrying the burden of Christ, and you've done it well. You have interceded for people who won't even pray for themselves, who don't care enough to love people they should love. You've seen the brokenness in families and the difficulties in marriages, etc., and you have interceded, and God has heard you. It didn't always work out the way that we thought it should, because God won't violate our will. He will let a person keep going on the wrong path, but he sure will put up a whole bunch of roadblocks because you prayed. And they won't do it not knowing what they're doing. You understand? So you're doing great. The fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The worst thing you could do now is be discouraged and say, eh, what's the point? I haven't seen a lot of results. They're coming. They're coming. Lots of results. You're going to say, God, I prayed that 20 years ago. I thought you'd forgotten it because I think I have. And it's going to show up. You watch. It's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Is your children here?
Yeah.
Amen. Father, bless these kids. Give them abilities. These kids, Lord, I pray they have abilities that make the heathen come to them and say, how'd you do that? Because you called us to be in the head, not the tail. You called us to excel, to show forth your glory. So I pray, Lord, they will, as they grow up, people will come to them and say, show me how you do that. That's, you know, it's like David with his slingshot when he was a kid. He was so good at it. He could take down a lion, bear, and Goliath. Amen? Great skills. I thank you, God, for this man. A lot of godly things are just very simple. They're just doing quite simple. There's a lot of simple things. If you look at Mary and Martha, you know, Mary's at Jesus' feet doing nothing in the kitchen. And Mary's complaining, but she's not spending time with Jesus. We actually need both in our lives. We need to be busy in the kitchen doing the diligent stuff, but we also need to have time at Jesus' feet. If you can, when you're alone, if you're driving in your vehicle, if you just talk to him. Talk to him. It's going to open a floodgate of wisdom and counsel. You're going to say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to fix this. I'm including you. And as you acknowledge him in all of those ways, he's gonna show off because you asked. Amen? Sometimes we have not because we ask not. So be careful that you're doing a lot of the normal stuff very, very diligently and very well, as a good dad would. Don't forget to add the time at his feet. And it's not on your knees. It's talking to him when you're alone. Amen? Go for walks in your vehicle. Talk to him. He's listening. Amen? Bless you. Doing great, man. Thank you, Jesus. Hi. Hallelujah. I've prayed this over the years for a lot of people. I might have prayed it for you, but it comes back to me now. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. And as we know, a conqueror just comes in and wrecks everything. takes over. Even if it's ruins, they take over. But more than a conqueror comes in and destroys the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the wicked, and you're good at it. And then replaces it with the kingdom of God. Praise the kingdom of God onto that ground and that territory. So we're pulling down strongholds and high forts and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And you're praying humility and godliness and born again and righteousness to be established in homes, families, and people that you value. People that God has put on your heart to pray for. So that's the mission. You know it. You've been doing it already. I'm just confirming it, and you're very good at it. Okay? Got it? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So John mentioned the scripture that we should lean not on our own understanding, but Jesus says, you lean on him. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Because if we lean on our own understanding, we're going down. But he wants us to lean on him. He really does. He's an amazing father. He's every father we could ever dream of having that really says, lean on me. I'll actually take responsibility and I will uphold you and nurture you. And I will give you what you need as a son to become everything that you're supposed to be in this life, preparing for a place of leadership and ruling on the other side. He said, you're going to rule 10 cities. That's what you've been being prepared for, is to rule and reign in eternity with him and have an amazing job. So nothing on this side is in vain, right? And so it is important. And you have been diligent and qualified yourself to rule 10 cities. The Lord trusts you. And the people he can trust can ask for big stuff. Big stuff. Because when you're ruling 10 cities, you'll be asking for big stuff. He wants you to have a taste of it on this side. Ask him for big stuff now. You're a good steward of the grace of God. Amen? Bless you, brother. Ask big. Yeah, don't move, Andrew. Amen. No, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for these girls. I pray, God, there's a song in every one of their hearts. A godly song, a godly melody in these girls. In fact, I want to pray they harmonize together. I mean, as they get older, they're going to harmonize together and sing the songs of God. And a threefold cord's not easily broken. We're talking about some spiritual authority being established here in singing unto God. And I thank you for this young warrior. He's going to fight and win. He's going to fight and win. The adversary may come, but he's going to fight him and he's going to win. The bear, the lion and the bear. If David hadn't learned how to fight the lion and the bear, he never could have killed Goliath. And this young man's going to fight the lion and the bear and take Goliath out in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for all the people that's going to win. In Jesus' name. Mom and Dad have instilled these good seeds in their kids. The kids are watching. They're taking the good seed in. And it's powerful. There's nothing more powerful than a family that can actually say, okay, there's a need here. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. It'll move eternity into action. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. It's great destiny in this family. Great destiny. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, you said it's more blessed to give than receive. It's good to receive. It's a good thing. But God's not looking for us to give him just money or a little time. He loves your heart and he wants it. He loves who you're becoming and he wants that with you. And I don't know what your relationship with your dad was like, but God's not like our dads. God has everything we need as sons to be a father to us. And he wants to be a father to us. He came to Adam, even after Adam failed. And he said, Adam, where are you? And it wasn't because he didn't know. It was Adam needed to know. Isn't that amazing that God would love us enough to come and say, where are you? Let's talk. Let's work it out. Amen? So the treasures you can give God is a heart that he can shape and form into the man of God that fits a name that's eternal. Bless him, Lord. Thank you. You're a leader now. Man, you're not a follower. You're a leader. And it's a wonderful thing. Amen? He's going to help you. It's going to be really good. Father, I thank you for a mother's heart, a nurturer. And it's not just her family she nurtures. She has you inside her and wants to give you away everywhere she goes. She gives you away to people she doesn't even know. I thank you, Father. People are going to ask her a reason for the faith that is in her. They're going to ask you how you got this joy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for schooling. That she's learning and she wants to learn. She's hungry to learn. She wants to know everything about everything. And I thank you, Lord, that that's a blessing that you want to learn. And I pray, God, nothing will hold her back. She will excel in Jesus' name. And this young man, amen, he's got a lot of energy. He's hard to keep up with. You're just going to teach him how to run for God. Run with God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Bless him. Bless him. Skills. Talents. Yeah, bless your family. Thank you, Lord. Hi.
Hi, I'm standing in place for my family.
Okay.
My wife and children were not able to make it tonight.
Okay. Father, I thank you for this man and his house. You said this salvation and everything attached to it is for us and for our house. So that includes his wife and kids. And so tonight he comes rejoicing, knowing that the salvation he senses in his heart and the joy that he senses that God is loving him and nurturing him, that is for his whole house. Every one of his kids, that love is working in at the same time. Everything that you allow to influence your family, and I'm not talking about bad things, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, things that you allow to affect you, the Word of God, that is happening in your family. He's working the same thing in them. Sometimes we sit back and look at our kids and go, I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I'm not sure if anything's going on. Looks like it. I thought for years he wasn't taking in what I was giving him. And one day he went to do something with a faucet. And I told him something. He said, Dad, stop. Look. I heard that in my head four times before I even got to the faucet. It's all working. It's going in. They're taking it in. And they're watching. And they will learn almost by osmosis. Just watching you and the way you function. And they will excel because you're not full of dysfunction. Got it?
Yes, sir.
It's for him and his house, Lord. What a blessing. While you're working in him, you're working in his wife, working in his kids. And it will manifest in Jesus' name in a glorious way. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I'm inclined to. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm 68 and there's an 18-year-old in me still. And there's an 18-year-old in you too. There's a little girl in you. A little girl that celebrated everything. That was enthusiastic about everything. And you still are. You have refused to drink a bitter cup. You have refused to let it poison and toxify the little girl that God delighted in. And you still do it. You still go to your Heavenly Father. You climb up in His lap. You tell Him how much you love Him. And you show Him affection and admiration. And then you ask Him. Not because you're trying to manipulate Him. You just ask Him for things that you need. And He's more than pleased to bring them to fruition. You've planted some big trees. And they started as oak seeds. So you haven't seen the results yet because it takes a long time. But it's coming. And every one of those trees will bear fruit. They will bear acorns. And they will plant hundreds of them if Jesus tarries. I thank you for her investment, God. See, that's the investment that God wants in families. Is you investing in them and them being the oak tree. You planted well. Yep, stop doing it, Andrew. I'll get there. See, you know what he said? He said, it's hard to be a single parent. Taking care of his mom and I. So I'm proving it to him tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I spend most of my prayer time, especially recently, just thanking Him. The Bible says that in Romans that because they were not thankful and they didn't glorify God, their minds became futile and their hearts became darkened. And you thank Him a lot. You're grateful for every little thing that you get. And as you thank Him, guess what's happening? Your heart is being illuminated and your mind is being quickened and sharpened. It's not getting dull. It's getting sharper. Amen? Doesn't matter how old we get, it's going to get brighter and sharper. And the heart is being illuminated. So we go, yeah, well, I give thanks. That's a courtesy. But no, thankfulness is so much more than that. And you're good at it. Amen? He loves to hear from you. Don't ever think He doesn't. He loves to hear from you. Write that on the fridge. Amen? Bless her, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I'm learning. Thank you, Father. Amen. Bless this young man. God, he's learning so fast. He's learning how to work out stuff. When you got a smart kid, they're a handful. Amen? He's probably the spitting image of what you were like as a kid. And all the questions under the sun, because he's got to fill his brain up, you know. Father, I thank you for this young man. There's excitement about life every day when he wakes up. Let's see what we can mess up today and see if we know how it's built. And we'll see if it's strong enough to handle me playing with it. Father, bless him. Thank you, Lord, for mom and dad. I thank you that we need both. We need the nurturer and we need the disciplinarian, especially with boys. They need to know what no means. And between the two, we make a God impact on our children. Between mom and dad, we make a God impact on our children. They come out nurturing. They know when to love. And they know when to say no. In Jesus' name. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Yeah, I'm going to get back. See? I caught myself. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's doing good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The children of Israel came into the desert and they came to some bitter waters. And that's a cup that was hard to drink. Moses put a tree in it, which was a type of the cross of Christ, and that water, that bitter water, became sweet. But Israel let seeds of unbelief, discontent, and dissatisfaction get in their heart. But Joshua and Caleb didn't. And Joshua and Caleb got their inheritance. And the rest of Israel went round in circles. You refused to get bitter. You refused to take that sop and swallow it. And God commends you for that. He'll make a way. He'll make a way into the promises of God, and you will know him as your Redeemer. And that means that he went ahead of you and bought back what you lost. He's going to give it back to you in a wonderful way. It won't be the same as it was. It'll be better. But I commend you, and he does too. You just simply refused to be like the crowd and get bitter. Amen? Great job. Father, I thank you for the sweetness of your Spirit. That the sweetness of your Spirit has wooed her to open her heart and let it be healed. She'd rather be hurt than full of scar tissue. Yes. I mean, I said that wrong. She'd rather be full of the Holy Ghost than scar tissue. She wants that sweetness to heal her heart more and more and more, because the best is yet to come. You know, Joshua and Caleb followed the children of Israel for 45 years when they believed God and they should have been allowed to go in and get their inheritance. It seems unfair that they had to follow these bunch of deadheads around in the desert for 45 years. You never hear them complain once, because their attitude was full of faith, and it said, doesn't matter if it's 45 years, and I don't care if I'm 85. God is going to give me a future for my children and my children's children. And I'm going to have that mountain and those giants. And they got it. They got it. And you're going to get everything that you've dreamed of in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The good thing is that God knows us. He says he knows how many hairs you got on your head. He's very acquainted with everything about us. You know, a lot of us are just longing for somebody that understands us. Somebody who has a clear picture. Because people are so bad to slot us in with a crowd or say, yeah, you're this way or you're that way. But no, he knows everything about you. And there's a plan that he laid out before the foundation of the world that has your name on it. Not only that, there's a bunch of trophies that you're going to pick up if you just keep following him along the way. That sounds like a pretty amazing future. All you got to do is keep following. Don't let anything distract you. Okay? Don't let anything stop you. Father, I thank you. This young man has begun to walk. But he will yet run. Huh? She. I'm sorry. Please. Forgive me. I need to stop praying. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Anyway, the word isn't any different. It's still the same. That there is a great ability to run and not be weary ahead of you. You're learning how to walk and not faint. Walk and not faint. That's a pretty serious classroom. Not fall down when everything goes wrong. But you're going to run and not be weary. in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive me for that. Thank you, John. Every now and again, I'll get that wrong. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You said, Father, believe and receive. She's believed. She's asked. And sometimes because we don't see an immediate response, we just keep asking. And I believe, if I'm right, it's time now for you to stop asking and start receiving. And every morning I want you to wake up and say, Father, what I asked you for, I receive. Right? Because the people that Jesus healed, he gave them healing, but they had to receive it. And he's heard your petition. Now you're going to learn how to receive from him. You're going to like it. But that's teaching you how to pray and receive. It's a great thing to know. And you're going to be able to pray for people and they'll receive. And you're going to teach them how to pray and ask and receive. And Father, let her receive what she petitioned you for. And she's asked a lot for a lot of things. So I thank you. They're on their way. They're coming. And we agree that they will show up, catch her by surprise. In Jesus' name. And your joy is going to be full because of that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm going. I'm just a big kid now. Thank you, Lord. There was a woman in the Bible who Elijah went to, and she just had a little bit of oil left. And he said, make me a little bit of flour. Make me a cake. Make me a biscuit. And she took her little. She made him a biscuit. But she never ran out of oil. And you have given from what you've had. And sometimes it's been very little left in your eyes. But God has never let you run out of oil. He's never let you run out of supply. You've learned how to run on empty with God as your sufficiency. And you know him in a way that people who have millions of dollars in the bank but don't know God's provision. And everything they have is all governed by the economy and the bank rates and all that stuff. They don't know what it is to see God be God, but you do. You have seen him keep oil in your vessel, in a time of spiritual famine, and you have never run out. In Jesus' name, you're a blessing. You have a lot of faith. It's a wonderful thing. Stay in. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Your family here, yeah? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be bold here. You know, Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan. In this, you remember the story in the Bible? And his name means one who destroys shame. And I'm just going to tell you the story real quick. So Jonathan, David's friend, who was King Saul's son, they made a covenant together. And so when David became king and Jonathan died on the battlefield, usually kings would eliminate all the opposition of the previous king's family and wipe them out. So this nurse picks him up as a baby and runs with him, and he falls and cripples him. So his name is Mephibosheth, and David didn't even know he existed. And he said to his servant one day, is there anyone left the house of Saul, that I can show the kindness of God, because a covenant was made? And he brought him in, and this man, his name means he will destroy shame, and his life was full of it. The nurse dropped him and crippled him. His grandfather failed him before he was ever born. He should have been a king in Israel. He should have been a ruler. He should have been an incredibly influential person. And King David said, because of the covenant, I'm going to hide his crippleness under my table, and he will sit at the king's table and eat. That's a powerful, powerful story of what Jesus has done for us. I just sensed that you're going to do that. You're going to destroy shame in other people's lives. You're going to help them get into the covenant with Christ and actually help them piece together what they should have become. But God's going to hide your crippledness under his table and feed you as a king's son. I think sometimes, and we don't want arrogance and pride, but sometimes we do think too low. You know why Adam fouled up? Because he didn't know who, he forgot who he was. He had all the authority in the world over the devil's lies, but he forgot who he was. Remember that you're a king's son. Amen? And he's hiding your deficiencies under his table and let you eat at the king's house. It's pretty good stuff. Amen? And Lord, they want that for their kids. They want them to be healers, not wounded. They want them whole, not deficient. We want them blessed. We thank you, Father, that they will lack no good thing. These kids will lack no good thing in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Lord, I thank you for Mom and Dad agreeing. Sometimes it's a fearful world and it's a scary place and we go, dear God, this could happen, this could happen, the other thing could happen. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to stop thinking about what could happen that's not right. And I want you to speak the blessing of God that is right. That's going to help you. Because God doesn't fail. He's able to keep us. He's able to keep your kids. Amen? Amen? Amen. He didn't give us any spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You will prevail. You have already, but you will yet too. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm seeing a picture of a trampoline. I mean, a trapeze artist, someone that hangs on a rope in a circus kind of thing. And one starts swinging here, and another one's swinging on the other side, and they connect, and they embrace hands, and stuff happens. Stuff, pretty amazing stuff. You go, wow, how'd they pull that off? You've put a lot of things into action. Prayer-wise, and just a lot of you've stimulated a lot of God things that should bear fruit. God wants you to know he's on a trapeze on the other side, and he has actually jumped on it, and he's coming. And I just see you and him linking arms, and amazing stuff happening. There's a time delay between the two, it looks. But he wants you to know he's not sitting on the platform over here waiting for you to swing to him. He's actually boring a hole through the mountain from the other side, because you're boring a hole from this side of the mountain. And somebody's going to get the benefit of the tunnel out of this. Amen? You understand? So, Father, I thank you, God, that she knows you're active. You're not passively sitting around. You're not just sitting there watching, say, well, try a little harder, swing a little harder. No, no, no. You're on your way to seal the deal and make amazing things happen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Miracles. Thank you, Father. God's put treasure in earthen vessels. We know we got clay feet. We wouldn't put out the treasure in us. We'd put it in the bank in a vault somewhere. But no, he wants it to spill out when it needs to and get cracked and chipped. And in the Old Testament, you had to be a spotless vessel to be a vessel of honor. But in the New Testament, we're like Jesus. We got a few chips and scratches because we've carried the anointing oil. Lord, I thank you for this vessel of honor in the house of God. You have, if I'm right, you've looked at people that have walked into church, seen their need and prayed in private. You've never said a word to them. And God wants you to know they got their victory because you prayed. That's like being a watchman or a watchwoman in the house of God, and who will not cease that intercession until the church becomes a praise in the earth. You're an important part of the body of Christ. Amen. You're a blessing. We thank you. Amen. You can pray for me anytime. Okay? It's great. Thank you, Lord. So we think most of the time that God wants to get us pointed in the right direction and then just let us go nuts with it. There's a time for that, and I've enjoyed it. I've been doing this 45 years nearly, and I love running with God. It's been great. Being creative, traveling, getting songs, and so that aspect is very real. But what he's saying to you right now is be still and know that I'm God. There's a place for that where you go, I've committed everything to him. I don't know what else to pray, and I don't know what else to say, but I'm acknowledging him in everything that I'm doing. And he says, okay, well, now I've got it. I want you to be still and know that I'm God. And everything in us doesn't want to be still. Being still means going for a walk and just talking to him. Not about all the stuff that has to happen. Just about him and thanking him and acknowledging his magnificence. He will respond to your personal worship. That's where you're going to find him real. You're going to be walking and talking to God, and he's going to show up in a way where you go, man, that is incredible. I just got a thought in my brain that fixes this, this, and this. And you that'll be with you the rest of your life. It's going to be amazing. Right now, though, he wants you, instead of getting wound up, he wants you to just be still with him. Amen? So that doesn't mean physically necessarily still, just at peace. He's got it, and then go walk and talk with him. Just remember that Adam and God walked and talked in the cool of the day. That could be morning or evening or both. They just walked and talked. And God valued that so much that he gave his son to get that back. So there's the key right there. Walk and talk. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that Paul said that we have been delivered from aimless conduct. The world is aimless. Every week you see people in the world, they're choosing this or that or some other thing to go chase after. We've been delivered from aimless conduct because we know the steps. We know the Word of God. We know, and if you don't, you can find them. And so the worst thing we can ever do is falter between two opinions. We have to make up our mind. Do we want to follow God or do we not want to follow God? Because in him there's joy, real joy, peace, love, a great future, a good husband, kids that are godly that don't torment you every day. Wouldn't that be nice? All of these things God offers us. And Adam and Eve went and chose stupid. Unbelievable. And we see the consequences of that. We go, so think of all the millions of people that have lived before us, that have shown us what happens when we don't follow God. Don't ever falter between two opinions. Keep your mind and heart, your thoughts on God. And he will, what did God say to Joshua? Stay in my word and you will make your way prosperous. That's something that we do that makes our way prosperous. And I want you to prosper. He wants you to prosper. Your parents want you to prosper. And nobody can make you. It's you getting in the Word of God and finding Him. And when you find Him, you're going to say, this is treasure. This is real treasure. This is not fool's gold. Amen? In Jesus' name, bless her, Father. Real treasure. Real treasure. You can buy it and it's solid gold. It's not fool's gold. Help her to see the fool's gold for what it is, and the real gold to possess it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. You're the sister, right? You're the older sister?
No,
the younger sister. Okay, I'm just checking it out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We learn so much by example, and we observe a lot of things. And I'm just going to say this. I hope your parents don't get mad at me. I hope you don't get mad at me. But when Abraham died, Isaac had grown up under his dad's fathering and tutelage. But now, for the first time, Isaac's Christianity is being tested. So he goes to Abimelech. And he told Abimelech the same lie that his dad told Abimelech. Why? Because he got afraid and he didn't learn from his parents' mistakes. I think if we're not careful, we criticize our parents, or we're not kind to their predicament. And so we criticize them and we end up just like them. Wouldn't that be horrible? Right? So I encourage you. Put yourself in other people's position and then look at the problem and realize this is reality, and I can learn everything from my parents about how to deal with every situation in life, and I can excel because they were willing to make mistakes in front of me and they were willing to say sorry. We either learn from what we learn in our homes. And if we don't, golly, it sets us back 30 years. Right? I mean, there's literally all this stuff we have to deal with. And I know they want to do good, but nobody's perfect. And when we're young, we're very idealistic. This is what perfection is. Huh? And one day we look in the mirror and realize we're not perfect either. So we have raised him, and we live in a travel trailer together for about 6 months of the year, and we're together all the time, and we've been brutally honest about everything. He's watched her and I fight. He's sat in the back of the van while he was doing school, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and her and I are spatting a little bit, and he'll go, "Pull up, Dad, pull up." It's been wonderful. I told him, I said, you can't. He said to me one day, he said, "Dad, I got a counseling appointment at 4 o'clock if you want it, but it'll cost you." Because he was studying psychology. And I turned to him, I said, "You can't buy the education that we are giving you." So there's a lot to learn. And we can get it right. And God's going to help you get it right. You're not going to be a person that goes and does it wrong, because they're doing everything they can to help you. And it's a wonderful thing. I grew up in a home that was more like hell than heaven. And it took Jesus getting a hold of me to change me, to make me fit to raise him. Amen? I know this is big stuff, but you're going to do well. But it's a choice every day to love enough to forgive and to learn from other people's mistakes rather than despise them. Amen? Bless her, Father. Bless her. Let mercy prevail in her heart for other people's weakness. Let the mercies of God rule her life. She has a gift of mercy in her that's going to be developed, where she will not condone stupidity, but she will have mercy on people that need help and want help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you said that you would go out of your way for us. John preached about it. But she went out of her way to come and see us and see you. She went out of her way tonight. She went the extra distance. So we ask you to bless her. Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so rich she cannot contain it. We ask you to physically heal her, spiritually heal her, emotionally heal her, in every way heal her for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just leave you with this. I was realizing that when Jesus went to towns, because I'm 68, when he went to towns, the Bible says he healed everybody in the town that was sick in some of the towns. And I said, well, it means he healed all the old people too. So we're in on it.
Yes.
There's no age limit on that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, y'all have to come up here. They want to keep the cameras so they can film it properly. Thank you, Father. This is wonderful. New life. New life. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you for life that swallows up death in us. Then you give us kids, and we want to give them life too. I thank you, Father, that you heal us. You teach us. Some people, like Joseph, they grow up in a very difficult family situation. And Joseph, later on in his life, said this. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So every evil thing was turned around for good. And I want to encourage both of you as individuals, any evils that happen to you, God is going to turn them for good. To minister to someone else's life because he fixes you. Amen? And Father, bless them richly. I just thank you for this amazing fresh portion of life. Let them drink it in. God giving us life. We want the whole cup, not a sip. In Jesus' name. Bless them. You're doing great. Keep it up. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, what I'm seeing is that Jesus had a progression of relationship with his disciples. He met them and they became believers. Then they became followers. And then they became disciples. And then they became servants. And then he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, because you've been faithful servants and you've come this far. Now I'm going to elevate your relationship to friendship with me, because you're not going to wonder why you do this. You're going to know what I was thinking when I told you to do it. That's what friends do, right? Friends share why you're doing it. We can just blindly serve God and it's all good, but to know why is really a cool aspect. And that's where you're headed, is to have God be your friend. Even as Moses, they spoke face to face. He's going to show you why certain things have to happen. He's going to give you the wisdom with that. Do you understand? So you've been walking through all these steps, and that wisdom's going to be part of you praying for the sick and them getting healed, because you'll know exactly what to pray, because it'll be Him praying through you. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you for the journey. Thank you for friendship with God. Not just a child, not just a daughter of God, but a friend of God. And I thank you for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. So the Bible says that you and I, when we get to heaven, we'll have a new name. And it's so amazing, the new name, that we actually cannot speak it here because our bodies would probably blow up. So do you have an amazing future then? Of course you do. We're going to have a glorified body to be able to speak that name. That's where we're headed. So that's pretty cool. What He's doing now is working in us to make our identity match that name. It's not the easy road. The easy road is what the world does. But the more difficult challenge is to be conformed to the image of Christ and get to wear that name for eternity. Amen? And that's where you're headed. Amen? You're not headed this way or that way or that way or that way. There's no confusion. You're headed that way into His presence. Amen? And you have access to the heavenlies. So start behaving like a king's daughter in the fact that you have authority to bind and loose. You have authority to come boldly into the throne room of God and say, Father, thank you for all you've given me, but we need this, 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 and this, please. We do it humbly, but we have clout. Amen? Man, that means you don't let anybody push you around either. You understand? You don't let anybody push you around in a negative, ungodly way. Not going there, not doing that. Thank you. You're a blessing. Keep it up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like your shoes, huh? That's cool. That's great. Thank you, Father. Lord, there's nobody on the planet that is just like Him. Every one of us is a unique creation of God. That means we got to work out who we are, what we're here for, and what we're supposed to do, how we fit in, because everybody's different. Nobody's identical to us at all. And that's the challenge that life is. We ask God. That means we include Him in our choices. You say, God, if I'm supposed to have that, I would like to have that if I'm supposed to have it. Then I'll trust you that I'll get it. And if I don't get it, that means you got something better. That sounds good, doesn't it? So, Lord, I thank you for Him. That He's going to work out what He's supposed to do. He's going to find what's got His name on it. And He'll be divinely led into that. It won't be any coincidence. And you'll surround Him with people that can shine light on the path. And your word will be the light to His path as well. Surround Him with good people who have a godly word in season. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, my wife, Kathy, she gets that gun out. She points it at me and him. And I say sometimes, I say, put that gun away. But she's not messing around. And you're good at it. And it feels like a fight. It feels there's a battle of the wills. But you will win because you've made up your mind. I'm not repeating history. We're not having a repeat on history here. We got a whole new lineage. God spoke to me. I grew up in an abusive home. And when I got saved, the Lord said to me, I am starting a whole new line in your family from this day forth. So your children will be blessed. And your children will have a different future than you grew up with. Amen. Father, I thank you for her inheritance in Christ, in this life. She's got a great one to come in the future, but Lord, in this life, she wants her portion on a daily basis of what she's supposed to have now, in Jesus' name. And she receives it. You're a blessing. Keep it up. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And that is a process, because at first we listen to bad counsel. We listen to what other people say, and they got it all wrong. Then we begin to stand with that false concept. And then we sit in the seat of the scornful and just mock everything good. And you know people who've done that. And God's put you where you are to help them get out of that mess, to influence them. Your prayers are going to change their destiny. Amen? But you are like a tree. Read Psalm 1. You are like a tree planted by a stream of living water, who shall bring forth its fruit in its season. Amen? Amen? So you are that living tree. I don't know if you grew up in a situation that was somewhat scornful or negative, but maybe life's thrown some of those things, but you see those three things that are bad, and you're going to help people avoid the pitfalls. Young people are going to talk to you, and you're going to say to them, don't go down that road of listening to bad counsel, standing with it, and then reaping the consequences of becoming a cynic and a bitter person. Amen? I see you helping a whole bunch of young people do with that. But you are a tree planted by streams of living water. Amen? And there's healing in that water. Lord, we thank you. You planted her, Jesus. And it's good. Drought won't affect her. Famine won't affect her. Because she will prosper in a bad year. She will excel. In Jesus' name. That's what that psalm says. Psalm 1. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I'll stay here like a good boy.
Her son, and she wants to stand in the gap for him. His name's Elisha.
Okay. Amen. Please. Amen. Father, we pray for Elisha. Yeah. Well, we lift him up to you. Was he graduating there, or was he finishing a year of school?
He's in the fifth grade, so they were doing school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you that he's graduating, and we pray, God, that we pray ahead, that he will successfully graduate every year in school, that he will excel in school, that he will find school a place where he finds God.
Yes.
And that can be a very negative situation, but no, in that environment he can work out what is God and what is not.
Hallelujah.
And I pray you'll let him see the difference between the holy and the unholy. What is the kingdom of God and what is the kingdom of the devil? That his eyes will see clearly in Jesus' name. That he will see clearly, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual realm. In Jesus' name. And bless her, Father. Heal her, too, we ask again. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we serve God, and you have for years, decades, and we give of our time, we give of resources, and we invest in the kingdom of God. But God wants you to know something. He's given you treasures that you don't have to give away. He's given you treasures. He's deposited things in you that are for you to enjoy. Does that make sense? We want to turn around and spend ourselves, but there's some treasures that God deposits in who we are, the peace we enjoy, the love we sense is an abiding love. It stays. We don't have to give that away. So there's, if I'm right, there are things we're supposed to give away, like time and energy and serving, and that's great. But it's not 100% of what we are, although we always preached 100% commitment. He wants you to enjoy Him, His attributes. He wants you to have a heart full of peace and love and joy. We can't buy that. He wants you to enjoy the deposit of God and not feel that, well, you know, I can't keep this, I got to give it away. No, He wants you to enjoy this whole thing too. Does that make sense? Partaking of, well, you know, I've been forgiven, man. I'm so clean. Do you understand? That peace of, He's got my future. I don't have to worry. The joy of my salvation. You know, sometimes it's just so much we serve and we serve and we serve other people. We forget about the treasures that are ours. It's like storing money up in a bank for retirement. We forget sometimes that it's even there because it doesn't affect our daily lives. And then all of a sudden there's all this stuff that we manage to store up. I think there's things in you that have been, God's been depositing, and the store is getting fuller and fuller, and He's not asking you to throw it away or give it away. He wants you to enjoy it in your latter years. Now, of course, there's a portion of it you will never stop giving away. Does that make sense? The tithe or whatever of my peace and joy, I can give it away, but He wants you to enjoy His attributes in you. I'm not sure how to make it clearer. Does it make sense? So, God, I thank You for this man. You've deposited in him. And he's spent it, a lot of it. But You want him to enjoy the attributes of the kingdom of God that are in him. Help him to see how big the deposit is and let him enjoy it. It's not selfishness to enjoy it. It's living. And in our latter years, we get rewarded for our service in this life. Jesus said 100-fold in this life and eternal life in the life to come. So somewhere in there, we're supposed to start enjoying kingdom privileges here. And you have served and you've loved. He wants you to enjoy his deposit in you. Amen? And not feel compelled somehow, I got to give this away. Enjoy it. Anyway. Bless you, brother. Anybody else? Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
One second.
There you go.
There you go.
That's great. Thank you, Father. Yay. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb had a more excellent spirit than the rest of the crowd. I thank you this young man's going to have a more excellent spirit than even those in the house of God that have grown up in Christianity. In fact, like Joshua and Caleb, he will plead with his church generation to not miss the promises of God. He will spy out the land and say, yeah, there might be some giants, but we can do this. He will be an overcomer for others and an inspiration to a generation. In Jesus' name, mighty in the Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for mom and dad. It's a labor of love. It's got a price tag on it that costs us just about everything. I heard a guy the other day, he said something, you might have seen it. It was on Facebook, on one of the reels. He was preaching, and he said, you know, the woman's supposed to submit. He said, a lot of women have a problem with that. He said, but God told the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And he said, what did Jesus do for the church? He died. And he said, he asked, and I'm going to make sure I get this right. He asked the, how did it go, John?
he asked the women if, or asked the men if their wives were worth, if it was worth submitting.
Yeah, they asked the women if the man was worth submitting to, but they asked the man if his wife was worth dying for. Man, it touched my heart. It just grabbed me. I went, whoa, now that's pretty cool. Amen. Father, I thank you. These folks they've submitted to each other and the Lord, and they've picked up a mantle, and they've gone back to the Jordan and stood there and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And while other people are scrambling around from the school of the prophets trying to work out where Elijah went, it was a new day. And Elisha was the new thing. And God, I thank you for anointing them to reach generations. They're not just going to reach the Z's or the X's. No, full spectrum. I thank you for anointing them both. They've got the goods, but let the river flow. They've been like a lake, there's been like a dam that's been built up, and you've been filling up and filling up and filling up and filling up. And that thing, that God's not going to let it overflow. He's going to bust the dam and let it flow. And flow powerfully. That's what I'm getting to. It's not destructive. It's a cleansing rush of the Holy Ghost to come into the church, that His church would be clean, that His church would be ready for His coming, in Jesus' name, because He's coming. We thank you for it, Father. Bless them. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to go to preaching. Amen. We love you.
All my elders. Yeah, everybody come, please. We're going to pray for you guys.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, you've poured out extravagantly all night, past, three, 4 hours. And so we just want to pray for you. So I'm going to open the door. Is there any prophetic voices that want to speak before I pray?
When you were practicing before prayer this afternoon, it's still today, I heard for you, expect surprises. Don't concentrate on what you think is going to happen, but expect surprises. Holy Ghost outbursts. The Word has matured in you to the place where He can trust you with surprises. That won't blindside you and knock you off the path He has for you. But expect Holy Ghost surprises, because they are going to take you to another level of grace that you haven't experienced yet.
John, as you go to Tanzania, and you said you were going on missions, but as I was sitting here contemplating that, I saw the structure of the guitar going out and touching people. But then I also heard the harmonies of that country and coming back in. And so there's like this sound exchange. I don't even know if you're taking your guitar with you, but that's what I saw. Anybody
else? I made a comment that you play your guitar with your whole body.
Yep.
that there's, it's not just your hands. Your whole body is engaged in that. And your whole spirit is engaged with the Lord. And he has seen that, and he is blessed by that. That you have been, I've known you all of your life.
True.
All of your life. And you are an all-in kind of a guy. And that has greatly blessed the Lord. And it's because you are all-in kind of people. And what he has now that you're proud of and are marveling in has come from the two of you. Because you've consistently, for as long as I've known you, been all in people. Mm-hmm. And it blesses the Lord. Mm-hmm. And for the first time tonight, John, I saw not only the musical giftedness that's come, your mom's compassionate heart, but I think the prophetic prayer is going to find a place in you as well. Mm-hmm. As you stood behind your dad tonight, and he was praying and prophesying over people, and I would see you nodding your head in agreement, probably, but I feel like you're going to start to have words for people as well, and that Dad will make room for you if you just come up and say, may I add to this?
Yeah.
So to be ready for that as well.
He's getting his feet wet. He's starting to do that's exactly.
Yeah.
It's time.
So did you trailer the bike up?
Yep.
Okay. throughout most of the service, I just saw you riding, and I've heard you mention your age 68 several times.
That's because I asked the Lord during the service how old was Andrew.
Okay.
He wanted to make sure I heard.
But I just saw you riding and cruising in the evening, and age doesn't matter. There's a fresh breeze blowing on you. Just a relaxation. It's coming easier and easier. It's a nice low center of balance. The corners are easy. Not a big tip. We're tight. All the wheels are all.
It's been a great outlet for me.
And just a fresh breeze, a fresh, fresh.
You may have noticed he used to ride a motorcycle. It's this whole gray section here, by the way.
I just want to add on to what Alan said, because you kept saying you were 68. I'm like, Lord, I'm 70. He's older than me, younger than me. But don't put a limit on your age,
right?
Because God has so much more for the two of you, and that the enemy would say, oh, you're this age.
Yeah. Right.
But I heard the same thing, a fresh
anointing
on all of you, but in different ways. It's not going to look the same for either one of you.
Caleb anointing, and that will be your portion as well. And I've been praying it for myself, because I'll be 77 next week, and it's like, I want that Caleb anointing, Lord, but I've been praying it for all of us who are reaching an age, and it doesn't, our zeal for God does not have to diminish at all.
Right. Yeah, no, it's just a number. It is just a number. So I'm looking for good years ahead, yeah. At some point I'll have to get out of his way.
Lord, I thank you, O Lord, for this family, this gift, O Lord, that you've given to the body of Christ. And my God, I ask, O Lord, that you will continue to give them clear direction, as it has been abundantly clear that their work is far from done. We even recognize that John's work is just beginning. And so, Lord, we ask, oh God, that the seeds that you've sown that have not yet matured, let them mature. The words that have been prophesied over this family that has not yet come to full fruition, we pray that it would come to full fruition. Lord, I ask, oh God, that you would give them the grace to endure. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you would continue to breathe life in them whenever they have any difficulties or challenges in the way. Lord, I pray that they would count all those as joy, oh Lord, recognizing that these are opportunities for them to stack even greater treasures in heaven and for them to also be a great example before those that may behold or to see them as they serve, as they minister, as they labor in love, oh God. Lord, be glorified in this family, oh Lord. In your holy and mighty name, amen. Yeah.